journeys to the cross. This whole year, I'm going to focus on our journeys to the cross, plural, because you and I need to understand something. You're not perfect yet. You're not going to be in that physical body. We sin. We make a lot of mistakes in our life. Therefore, it is our blessing to be allowed to come back to the cross. Get back to the foot of the cross. And when you are battling in your heart, and many people do, they battle in their heart their salvation. Because of their actions, they believe that the Lord has turned them loose. It wasn't your actions that got you saved. It was Jesus' actions that saved you. You are saved by grace through faith. You believe, and it's what Jesus has already done. That's where your salvation is, not in your works, not in how good you are, but it's in who you know. I'm going to heaven because of who I know, not of what I know. So therefore, it is my blessing to get to go back to the cross time and time again. Sometimes it's very difficult to be able to get anything else done in my life because I'm at the foot of the cross so often. But God said, that's where I want you. I want you to listen to me. I want you to pay attention to those around you. I'll take care of you. You watch others and help them in the situation they are in. And I would encourage pastors, no matter who you are, what denomination, to pay attention to everyone else. God will take care of you. God will show and teach His lesson through you. You watch after everyone else. Folks, have you ever paid attention to the scripture when you're reading it about the flock and the shepherd? How many times have you read through scripture where the flock takes care of the shepherd? How many times have you seen that? You haven't. The shepherd watches after the flock. Therefore, whatever journey that God places this pastor on, I'm going to pay attention to you on that journey. I'm not afraid of all of the cancers. I've certainly had my share. But Christ so far has brought me through. And if not, that's okay, because He will have a better message to give you through me not winning it. See, I'm not one of those that says, oh, Lord, what'd you do that to me for? I preach your word. I teach your word. I love people. I'm not really not that bad. Why do I get cancer? Please, why don't you just give it to Brother Randy? He's younger. He can handle it better. Well, Larry, I would, but you brag so much about being a Marine, I suppose I'd just let you take it all. I did not hear that from the Lord. That's my wife talking to me on that one. But pay attention to life. Pay attention to life on your journey to the cross. Pay attention to everybody else's life. Christian, the Savior who saved you will never leave you nor forsake you. He is always with you. He'll lift you up. But there are people out here that are hurting, folks. There's a whole world full of people that don't know Jesus. Now, they're the ones that you have to live and express that great love from Christ to. And He said, I want you to do it. I go back and forth to the cross. Why? Have you noticed yourself sowing some bad crops in your life? To sow a bad crop. The world is loaded with individuals that have never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, and all those bad crops have mounted up, and sometimes they get overwhelmed and they're buried in their crops. You can't see them because the crops, the evil, all of life itself is surrounding them and overgrown them. Christians do the same thing. Christians do the same thing. We accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of our life, and then we have a bad case of the stupids again, and we get out and we go right back to the hog waller. Right? I don't get many amens on that, Brother Rennie. Huh? Yeah, brother, I know what you mean, and you do know what I mean. That's reality living. That's the world you're in. Let me tell you about the Jesus I know. Let me tell you about the song that he'll put in your heart. Let me tell you about the love that he's given you to such a depth that you can't imagine it. Let me tell you about Jesus. The bad crops of life, they're sown, they're there. What do I do? Those crops are there. I can't go back and change anything. The only hope, Christian, that you have is the next crop. Make it the good crop. The next sowing you do, make sure you've sown it with the good grain. Make sure what's in your future. And then the more good crops you sow, the more that you're going to see how they amount to so many more than the bad crops, that those crops then, the bad ones, are overshadowed from the good. Doesn't mean you're not going to mess up. It means stop and think. We have a very difficult time doing that. We fuss at our young folk all the time for the very same thing that we adults end up doing, telling them, don't you do this. You stop and think. And then what do? We do it without stopping and thinking, right? So we pay attention. Pay attention to what the Lord is telling you to do. Listen to Galatians 6, verse 7, first part of verse 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. It's called a universal law of the living God, Old English. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What you sow, you will reap. Boy, it's an ugly crop, isn't it? That you sow in your life so often. Well, you know, Lord, I don't really want to reap. Larry, you sowed it. Suck it up, Marine. Tough it out. You sowed it. Now it's going to be harvested. I'll give you mercy as you harvest. But it'll come to harvest. It may smell rotten and more rotten than cat litter. It may do all of that. But I guarantee you, God will make it smell better before it's over and will give you the strength to carry on. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. Proverbs 22, verse 8. He who sows wickedness reaps trouble. You sow wickedness, you're going to have trouble. Watch what you sow, because you're going to have to reap it somewhere down the line. Your family needs you. The world that don't know Jesus needs you. You cannot be at work for the Lord if you're swallowed up in bad crops. And all the world coming in focusing on you. During Job's suffering, and boy, he had a lot of it. I get in a lot of pain sometimes, but nothing like Job. I haven't had to break the pot and scrape myself yet. But I tell you what, isn't it amazing what we witness in our mind when reality hits? And you do get struck that way, that broken piece of pottery felt so good to him because it was less than the balls that was upon his body. Therefore, pay attention. Now, Remember Job's friends again, Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, and who's the youngest one? You remember, Randy? Paula, tell him. Okay. Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, okay, doesn't matter. He's not talking here. This is Eliphaz talking in Job. Listen to what Eliphaz has to say. Now, here's what we learned about the book of Job. At the end of the chapter, you find out that Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, and the other young one, whoever he was, that the God comes on the scene and God says, everything you've said is wrong. You are wrong in your statements to Job. Now, Job is going to have to pray for you or you're in trouble. And picture that one. But what he was talking about is this. Listen to what he says to Job. As I have observed, this is Eliphaz, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it. At the breath of God, they are destroyed, and at the blast of his anger, they perish. True statement. But it wasn't the truth concerning Job. All their statements were true statements, but they attributed this kind of charge to Job, and it wasn't true. Job was a righteous man serving the Lord, and he caught all manner of hell coming on his life. And so they thought, his good friends thought, surely Job, you've done something wrong or this wouldn't come on you. Many people believe that today. They look at other people and they said, well, it's their actions that's done this. Or, wonder what kind of sin they committed. And I think, good gracious, people, get a life. Are you not saved by grace but through faith in Jesus Christ? And does not Jesus save everybody the same way? So therefore, if he does, then how can you falsely charge somebody else? You don't know their life. Remember, you don't know how many chips they may have short up here. You don't know. God does. That's why his judgment is a righteous judgment. His judgment is a righteous judgment. Pay attention to him. So everything was going wrong. Do you ever have days, weeks, and months where everything goes wrong? Huh? Did you know you're still serving the same Lord? Did you know you're still going to receive the same grace? Do you know why we don't see those positive actions in our life? We don't ask. We don't ask. You get so ill, so sick, so broken, so much in pain, you don't want to bother God with it. Well, I talk to him all the time. I don't like it. Ready to accept whatsoever he gives me. But I don't like it. But he says, pay attention then to the good crops. Here's something, Christian. It's a warning for you. It's a warning for every one of us. I want us to remember something. And this is what goes on in a Christian life so often, especially young Christians, young with families. And as their family starts growing, they will, a lot of times you can get them back in church. But folks, the 20s is a bad period. You think teenage years are rough? 20s are the years of where you don't know you're really as dumb as you really are. But then you're out there in life trying to experience life, and you do a lot of dumb stuff. And then you get hit with reality living. And you say, hey, I'm going to go back to God's house. I'm going to go back around my Christian friends. I want my child in church. And the Lord says, well, bless you, my child. I wanted you to have that fellowship because it's a fellowship for Christ. That's what we are. But listen to this on the good crops and pay attention to it. Sow for yourselves righteousness. What does that mean? Do what's right. You know the difference between right and wrong. Do what's right. reap the fruit of unfailing love. Jesus loves me. Yes, I know, for the Bible tells me so. I promised you all I'd never sing that to you again. But it gets me excited. Reap the fruit of unfailing love and break up, this is Hosea, and break up your unplowed ground. That's a modern translation of the New International Version. Break up your fallowed ground. What was fallowed ground? It's for their crop rotation, meaning at some point after they had grown enough crops in there, they would go ahead and they'd do the plowing. They put the harrow out there, and they'd harrow it all up. Anybody know what a harrow is? Thank you. Whew. The rest of you city slickers, it's breaking up the big clods and all, disking, doing all of this. But one thing they wouldn't do to that field, they would not sow a crop on it. So the field is all ready for planting, but they wouldn't, because they want the nutrients to be in the soil, so they will let it lay there and let it rest. And they wouldn't plant the good seed, the good crop. So what happened? Thorns, thistles, weeds grow up. And Hosea was trying to tell the nation, you're just exactly doing what you should not be doing. You have left the land fallow, meaning you've got it ready, you've done nothing with it, and you need to plow yourself up spiritually. You need to go in and start sowing that good seed. You've let it lay there long enough. We human beings have a tendency that if it's easier, we'll probably take that easy route. And after the ground is laid fallow for a while, we say, well, you know, that's okay. I made it good without having to do that extra work to that parcel. So therefore, I'll just leave it that way. That's what we do with our lives. Folks, that's not of God. He said, the time has come now to plow up that ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. You got a blessed day coming, folks. There's a time coming when the Lord is going to bless you with more blessings than you have ever imagined. When the Lord is ready and willing to shower that righteous blessing of love, truth, peace, faith, hope. And when he does that, he's ready and willing to lift your life up and put you so often right in the middle of everything bad going on. Why would he do that to you? He does that to you because you got a light in you, and you need to let that light shine. You got a crop in you that Christ himself has planted. And he says, I want you to till it up. I want you to break it up. Don't let it sit there. Do something with it. I will bless you. Now, I'm coming, and the day's coming. You're living in the day again of, you see all the troubles, trials, tribulation. People say, is it the end time? The end time began, for those of you watching, the end time began at the birth of Jesus. If you'll look behind my podium area, you will see the Ten Commandments, the replica setting up back there. In front of it, you will see a manger scene. At the manger is when Jesus brought an end to the law. He fulfilled it. He did not eliminate it. He fulfilled the law. And then from there, he did his message. From there, his sermons and all. And from there, he went to the cross for you and for me. He said, I'll take care of this for you. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I'm doing this for you because I love you. He died. Then he was buried. And he thought, while he's there, might as well conquer death. So he did. Folks, I can't even die. I told you before, you stuck with me through eternity. Get used to me. I love you. See, that's the love of Christians. That's what we're to be about. You're not sent out into the world to judge them. You're sent out into the world to be a light of hope. Won't you come in? Let me tell you the story of Jesus. Maybe you have the story of Jesus in your life, but your ground has laid fallow for so very long, you have hardened. And the world doesn't see the difference in you. They see you afraid like they are. They see you hurting like they are hurting from within. Don't do that. You see, sure, I got the cancers. You watch your pastor as God touches my life. I won't quit. I will fight it. And once again, more than likely, I'll beat it. But one way or the other, folks, know this. My Lord is my Lord, whether I make it or I don't. Amen. But you all are still stuck with me because most of my congregation about ready to go with me anyway. Ain't that right, Brother Larry? We're ready to go. Absolutely. Be at peace in your heart. But don't just take the peace that you have in your heart to just those in your own little group. Take that peace to a world that doesn't know Jesus. Be a real Christian. Let them know that you hurt just like they hurt. Let them know that you have a case of the stupids just like they do. Excuse me, parents. Let them know, though, that you are a real human being. The difference is you know Jesus. And you know, when you know Jesus, the greatest blessing an individual can ever have. I know Jesus. Therefore, I want you to know Jesus. Are you getting this? When you know Jesus, you know what he's done in your life, and that love that he's placed in your heart, you want others to see it. Now, don't go be hitting people upside the head with the Bible. That'll get you whipped. Don't be doing that. Just go out there in love. Let them ask you, why do you seem so happy right in the midst of all the hell going on in your life? That'll open the door. You step right in. Well, let me tell you my story. That's the story of what Christ has done for you. Be real, Christian. Life hurts a lot. And so often, we contribute to that hurt ourselves. Don't you dare blame it on someone else. You serve a Savior who said, I love you. I forgive you. I want you to have peace. I give you myself. Ain't any love any greater than that. And it don't get any better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings, the joy of salvation, for your truth, for your love. I pray now, Father, as you touch our lives, each of us, that we will take your message of love and truth, and we, dear Heavenly Father, will give it with love and encourage others to accept that truth. Touch our lives this week. Protect those, dear Lord God, who are going through so many difficult times in their life. Bless them, Father. Let your hand of love supersede all else. For I ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. If there may be some who are listening by our broadcast who do not know Christ as Lord and Savior, we have a lot of states in the United States that tune in to us. We have many, many different countries that listen to the broadcast. And it's amazing to me how God can take a little church in Podunk Vine Grove and spread the message throughout the world. But he has a way of doing that. You remember this as you go this week. Your pastor loves you. I love you, and I mean every bit of that.